There is a word from the Lord on the day that shall come forth from the 23rd chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew 23, and we'll begin reading, or we'll read in your hearing, verses 23 and 24. As always, we'll read according to the New American Standard Version. And it reads as follows. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. If it be God's will, we want to speak from our continued theme and thesis entitled, There is a Difference Between the Righteousness of God and the Religion of Men. Fundamentally, we have said from the very beginning of this series is that righteousness equates to man accepting God's righteousness given in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Religion, defined, is man seeking to establish his own righteousness and rejecting the righteousness of God in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't know about you today, but when I read the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, man has no righteousness of his own. Man cannot, could not, and cannot keep the law of God. Could not maintain God's standard of righteousness. So much so that God said that there's none righteous, no, not one. But it is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whom God gave for our sins to hang, bleed, and die on Calvary's cross, that we might have a right to eternal life. For John 3 and 16 says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes upon him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. Because God gave us his righteousness in the person of Christ. Amen. Romans, the third chapter, says, reveals this, and that is that we are saved by faith through grace. And that it is the gift of God, not of ourselves, but because of God's love for us, he has given us his only begotten Son. And the best news of all is that that Son who died for us has also risen for us. We serve a resurrected Christ. We serve a victorious Savior. We serve a living God. And because we serve a living God, we don't need any righteousness of our own because, number one, we don't have any, and because God has supplied all of our needs according to his riches and glory. So I don't know about you. I'm not interested in practicing religion. Amen. Dressing up, doing this, doing that, trying to do all the things that man says it ought to be done in order to achieve some level of righteousness or quote-unquote godliness, when we can simply accept God's gift.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
The one who is our maker and our creator.
Amen.
And receive the righteousness that's in him.
Amen. Praise God.
God is exposing in this 23rd chapter the religious practices of those who had taken leadership among the people of God. Matter of fact, in the first part of this chapter, he told his disciples and he told the multitudes. You want to talk about putting on blast? You want to talk about putting highlight on some folk? Jesus put the highlight and the spotlight on these people who were in leadership positions who were not operating based on the righteousness that God had given them, but were seeking to establish their own righteousness and being mighty petty about it in the process. So God exposes this religion or religious type practice. And in effect, he is giving us a detour off of this path. Because if a person is not careful, they'll get caught up in church. And I'm going to tell you, there's a difference between being a churchian and a Christian.
Come on,
amen, somebody. God is not interested in folk who dress up, look nice, go to church on Sunday, and then raise all kind of hell before Monday can even get here. God's interested in somebody who will live for him, who will humble themselves before him, submit to him, and obey him as Lord of their lives, that they may receive the blessings that God has given them in and through the righteousness that's in Christ Jesus and in him alone. Because we have no righteousness of our own. In this 23rd verse of the 23rd chapter, Jesus points out that those who are in leadership, who ought to be setting the example, by the way, and let me put a pin where I'm going. Those of us who are in leadership positions ought to set the example for other people.
Amen.
Okay? And just so we can get this thing straight, all of us are leaders.
Amen.
And if you're wondering whether I'm going to rush through this, no, I'm going to take my time. And if I don't get through with it, good, we'll come back and finish up next Sunday.
Amen.
But I'm going to take my time and give you what God wants you to have.
Amen.
This thing called leadership, okay, being out front, being an example to others to help them get where they need to be is a serious thing with God.
Amen.
In fact, he says that those who are in leadership roles, leadership positions, have been given that leadership by him.
Amen.
Romans 13:1 says that God is authority, and apart from him, authority does not exist.
Amen.
And if you are a Christian, you have authority. So let's just get that straight right now.
Amen.
Everybody in here who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are in a leadership position.
Amen.
Matter of fact, when God gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28, he said this. He said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth.
Amen.
And then he tells us, he commissions us to go ye and make disciples,
Amen.
Teaching them
yes.
all that I have taught you to observe. Go make disciples of all nations. That word nations out of the Greek is the word ethnos, where we get our English word ethnicity.
Amen.
So that means that regardless to a person's ethnicity, okay, regardless of whether they're black, white, brown, red, or yellow, God is saying that as Christians, we have a responsibility to lead the way, to show people the way to Christ. God said to us that you are, in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth.
Amen.
A light is not given to be hidden under a bushel.
Come
on. Nor is salt any good if it does not remain salty. But it's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trodden under feet of men if the salt loses its saltiness. So we have a responsibility as Christians to be leaders.
Amen.
Okay? Also, as fathers and mothers. Well, before I get to that, husbands and wives. Because some folk think that means the same thing. Okay? God established the institution of marriage in order to produce the institution of family. Somebody needed to hear that.
Amen.
I think I'll say it again.
Amen.
God established the institution of marriage in order to produce the institution of family.
Amen. Praise God.
But see, Satan doesn't want that. See, He wants folk to get it twisted, to get it backwards. He wants folk producing family before the marriage gets in place. That way, before the marriage ever gets started, there's a broken marriage hey, good God Almighty, somebody knows the word. Because, see, a broken marriage produces a broken family. And a broken family produces broken generations. And that broken family and broken generations will result in a broken church and a broken community, a broken city, a broken county, state, nation, and world. But it all starts with the marriage. So don't be swayed by the world to think it's something wonderful and fanciful to just be able to do what you want to do. We're not dogs and cats and animals. God has ordained order in our lives. He's made us in his own image and his own likeness. We don't just go out and do stuff. There's an order. But we're all leaders. Fathers and mothers are leaders. Okay? Yeah. Husbands and wives, first and foremost, are leaders. Fathers and mothers are leaders. We have a responsibility to be an example to the next husband, to the next wife, to the next father, the mother, the children. And that means we got to get in the practice of living our lives according to the word of God, not according to how we feel, according to what we think, or according to the way somebody else did it. I don't know about you, but if somebody else ran off the cliff, I'm not in a hurry to follow them.
Amen.
Somebody else ran in the quicksand, man, I ain't trying to get in there.
Amen.
So why should we do what generations before us did?
Amen.
If their lives produce hurt and brokenness and pain and suffering, why do we want to replicate that? Now, the real head scratcher is this. Folk keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. It doesn't happen like that. Last time I heard, that was the definition of insanity. To keep doing the same thing but expect something different. Okay? Yeah, we've got to learn to be obedient to the word of God, that we may be blessed of God.
Amen.
Pull the pin. Now, in this passage, in this 23rd verse, Jesus called these folk out on the red carpet. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Yeah, and he said, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Okay? That's folk who say one thing and do another. That's folk who pretend to be one thing and is in effect something else. Matter of fact, the word hypocrite in its picturesque capacity literally means players, as in the folk who put on skits, act out plays and things like that. God is saying these folk are play actors, okay? Now, like I said before, it's fine to have a career if you're an actor, an actress, or something like that, and you do that on purpose, you know, for the purpose of a career or something like that. But it's another thing for that to be played out in real life to where folk think acting as if they one thing and they're something else. See, acting don't count in real life as having a career in acting. It's called hypocrisy. Okay? Yeah. So he calls them out and he says, you hypocrites. He says, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin. Now, first of all, somebody might say, well, why are you ranking on these folk? He said that they tithing. Last time I heard, tithing was a good thing. The last time I heard, it was too. But see, tithe is a tithe. See, if a person had $1,000 and they tithed off of 50 cents. That only amounts to a nickel. See, that's not a tithe. So for a person in their mind to think that tithing off of a part of what they've got, or off of the least of what they got, and leave the rest of it. He said these folk were tithing mint and dill and cumin. These were things that had little or no worth. Mint was stuff they used to throw on the floor to create a fragrance throughout the house. Dill was some foreign substance, and cumin was in effect a type of seed similar to that which would reflect the carrot, and it had little or no worth. He said, "You tithing off of these little things, but you're not really tithing." Some folk that think they're tithing, they're really teething. Lord, have mercy today. It reflects an immaturity, an ungodliness, in some cases an outright wickedness. When folk are adult and ought to know better, playing with God like that, as if he don't know how much he blessed them with. God forbid. So they were giving off of these things, and Jesus says, as opposed to the weightier provisions of the law, they left out the hefty salary and only bought some scraps and fragments of what they had. And then he also deals with them in the sense of justice and mercy and faithfulness. He said, but these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. And then he says, he makes it plain to him. He says, you blind guides. Wow. Let me put a pen here.
Wow. Oh, Lord. Whew. Oh, no. Wow.
Can I teach for just a moment? I promise you it ain't going to take me 10 seconds. But I just got to do it. I said we all leaders. See? And if we're leaders, and a folk in a leadership role don't know where they're going. They don't know Jesus. They don't know the word of God because they not took time to study or meditate on the word or took time to pray or trust God or obey God. But yet they responsible for being a husband or a wife or a father or a mother. Or, Lord, have mercy. He said, you blind guides. See, the folk who are blind are folk who can't see Jesus, who doesn't know their making creator, don't have a right relationship, not in right standing with it, have not made up their mind to obey the God of creation. Folk who cannot see and do not know the way. When Jesus asked his disciples, he said, who do men say that I am? And all of them start saying these different things. And then Peter said to him, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he told him, he said, thou art Peter. Huh? You are the rock. He said, because there's no way you could have known this unless my Father in heaven revealed it to you. It's through the revelation of God's word that we're able to see. The scripture says that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. He said that those who follow me, according to John 8 and 12, he says, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Darkness represented is that which reflects immorality, ungodliness. He said that folk who know me and who can truly see, where they're going, it's reflected by the fact that they obey me. Yeah. So nobody can trumpet themselves. Yeah, I know God. You can't tell me nothing. And just sin right on way to bust hell wide open. God forbid. Yeah. So God points these folk out as being religious. See, because religion, Let me tell you what religion does. Religion gives a little and takes a lot. See, these folks, that's what the way religion is surmised, and in effect, religious people. See, religious people, they don't want to give.
Give that preacher my money. He ain't taking my money up there. I didn't mind. Oh. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and all who's in it. All the silver and all the gold belongs to the Lord. It is the Lord, according to Deuteronomy, who gives us the ability to get wealth. Now, whose did you say it was? See, folk who don't operate according to, by reading and understanding and applying the word of God, they have a religious spirit instead of the spirit of righteousness, which only comes through Christ. And see, a spirit of religion covets that which belongs to God. Act as if what is God's is theirs. It's my money. I'll throw you a little dollar, a coin or something. You better be happy with that. Wow. See, that's religion gives a little, but it takes a lot. Takes a lot. Okay. Let's go to Exodus, the 32nd chapter, for just a moment. Exodus 32. Yeah, and I really would relegate that to religious folk gives a little and takes a lot, because truth be told, religion itself has nothing to give. Amen. But false hope. Oh, somebody better hear me today. I said religion has nothing to give but falsehood and false hope. Okay? Matter of fact, in this 32nd chapter, the scripture reveals in verse 1, it says, "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.' And Aaron said to them, 'Tear off the gold rings which are in your ears, and your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me.' Then all the people tore off the gold rings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron, and he took this from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into a molten calf. And they said, 'This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt.'" What a fool. In the words of Pastor Giles, what a mess. What a sloppy mess. Now, God just delivered these folk out of Egypt. Okay? Brought them out of slavery, brought them out of bondage, gave them a promise that he's taking them to a better place, taking them to a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So see, religion is not only born out of stupidity and ignorance, but fundamentally here we see that it was born out of impatience. See, folk that's not willing to wait on the Lord. See, David said in the 40th division of Psalms, he said, "I waited patiently on the Lord, and he heard my cry." He inclined himself to me. God heard my cry. Amen. And he brought me up out of the pit of destruction, amen, out of the miry clay, and he set my foot upon a rock, upon a firm place. But he got out of the pit. See, if I had time to preach. See, there's some folk who's in a pit. Amen, somebody. They in a quicksand. And they got in that quicksand because they were not willing to wait on God.
They were not willing to trust God for their needs. They were not willing to believe God for his promises. And they bought Satan's lie, and it cost them a lot. Because now they're in a quicksand. and because they were in a hurry. And they're still in a hurry. In the quicksand. And they keep moving and moving, and they're going faster and faster. And last time I checked, the faster a person moves in quicksand, the quicker they sink.
Whoa. Yeah. Listen. Yeah. Wow.
What David says is he wasn't worried about trying to get himself out of the quicksand. He was worried, his focus was on God. See, because the word wait out of the Hebrew, in that 40th division of Psalm, translates out of that original language as the word agree.
Yeah.
The word trust translates patience. Amen. So David is letting us know how he got out of his pit.
Amen.
So that he wasn't in the quicksand of life.
Amen.
In a hurry to go to nowhere.
Yeah.
In a hurry to go to his death. In a hurry to go toward his destruction. David made a decision. He was going to wait on God.
Amen.
That word wait means agree.
Amen.
So David is letting us know the secret of how to get out of the muck and mire of life.
Amen.
How to get out of the quicksand. How to get out of the pit.
Amen.
The pits of life.
Amen.
By agreeing with God.
Amen.
And by trusting God.
Hallelujah.
See, the reason why these folk got left righteousness and ended up in religion is because they got tired in a hurry of waiting on God. And the truth be told is they never really were waiting on God. God was waiting on them. Just like he's waiting on us. The scripture reveals that the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro in the earth, looking for folk to bless. All God wants folk is being in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. And that only comes about when we wait on him, when we trust him, when we walk in humility instead of pride, when we let God do it his way instead of us trying to do it our way. I've known a few folk in my life. They were in a hurry to make money, in a hurry to get rich. Let some friends talk them into drug dealing and all kind of stuff. And all it got them was an early grave and some prison sentences along the way. Oh, if I had time to tell you, wait on the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
Agree with God.
Yeah.
Be patient with God.
Yeah.
Let him work it out.
Hallelujah.
In your life. Let him work it out in your life. These folk were in a hurry. Moses had been delayed. I don't know about you, but my thought is somebody has been in bondage for 400 years. You walk with me now. They've been in bondage for 400 years. I don't know if Moses was gone a few hours or a few days, but to put him on the clock and he just brought them out of 400 years of bondage, there's some insanity somewhere in all of that. Yeah, there's some insanity. So long story short, praise God, they didn't wait on him, and so they built themselves some gods. Now, this is the stupidity and the foolishness of it all. They're going to ascribe the glory that belonged to the true and living God and give it to something they just made with their own hands. Oh, Israel, here's your God, these golden calves that you just took the gold out your ears and out your sons, your wife's ears, your sons and daughters' ears. We didn't put it in a fire, molding it together. And by the way, that was what the very thing God told him not to do. He said, you shall have another God before me. That was commandment number one. He just got through telling them that in 12 chapters earlier in the same book of Exodus. It was the first commandment. The second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven images. Well, any carved images. That's what they just got through doing. See, when folk disobey God, they make themselves plunder for Satan. Somebody better hear me today. And Satan loves for folk to be caught up in religion, to think that they're righteous and truly have none at all, to think that they're clothed and be completely naked, to think that they're saved and be a sitting duck. For every bullet he wants to put in them and every bomb he wants to toss their way. And one thing after another keep blowing up in their life, keep being blown apart in their life, and they trying to figure out what's going on. Baby, get in the bomb shelter. His name is Jesus Christ. Yeah, his name is Jesus Christ. Yeah. So truth be told, religion will take everything a person got, just like they did. Took all their gold and everything else. And they were left with a lie because they abandoned the truth. But Jesus is talking about these religious leaders. He said, old folk are really good at giving a little and taking a lot. He said so much so in the 24th verse of that 23rd chapter of Matthew. He says they strain out a gnat. Now, I don't know about you. Last time I saw a gnat, that was pretty small. He said, but they swallow camels. That's a pretty big animal. They strain out a gnat. They can barely get out a gnat, but they swallow camels. God said that is the heart. That is the mindset. That reflects people who have a religious mind. They'll take every blessing that God has, and they don't want to give him a thing. They'll take his health and his strength and will not honor him with their time, talent, or treasure. They'll take his right mind that he's given them, and use it for wickedness. Walk with me now. Use it for wickedness. They'll take the word of his power and of his authority, and lay hold of every blessing, and then turn around and toss him a few cents. God is saying, Don't be religious. Don't walk in the religion of men, but the righteousness of God that only comes in Christ Jesus. Look with me at Galatians, the 6th chapter. Yeah. God wants to reveal something to us, and that is this, and he's going to back it up with his word, that righteousness gives a lot and takes a little. Amen, somebody. If you ever want to find out if you're in a church that reflects righteousness, it's easy to tell. Those folk are constantly teaching and preaching the word of God, training folk up in righteousness, raising them up to greatness so that they can walk in honor and in truth, so that they can be blessed in their marriages, families, and generations. They're constantly giving that which has the greater weight and blessing. They're constantly doing that. And all they do is receive what God says, the tenth, the first fruit, the tithe, and the offering. Amen. But see, folk that's caught up in religion, they'll lift up 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15, 16, 17, 18 different offerings. Hadn't preached anything, hadn't taught anything. It's easy to find out folk in a religious setting. I went to one place. These folk, I'm going to be honest with you. I'll never forget, I went to this one church, and I won't tell you who it is because that'd be gossip, but I went there. And I bet you those people lifted 15 different offerings. Even while the preacher was preaching, he'd stop so they can lift another offering. And they did that several times. I bet you did five or six just through his sermon. Here at Lincoln Bible Church, we figure, you know, God say those who give sparingly will reap sparingly. Amen. Those who give bountifully will reap bountifully. Amen. We believe that people will give as God places it on their heart to give. Amen. And if folk won't let God place anything on their heart, then they're the ones who's shut out of the blessing. Because God's going to provide for that which is his. Amen. He's going to make provision for that which is carrying his vision.
Amen.
Okay? So one thing you'll notice here, we're going to lift one offering.
Amen.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Unless there's a family in need or something or a specific cause, you may see us lift one, but everybody will know why we lift it. But even then, that's a rare situation, because mostly out of the tithe and the offering, that's where we establish the assistance that we give to families.
Amen.
We take that out and we don't lift any additional offering.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, but once again, righteousness gives a lot and takes a little. Galatians, the sixth chapter, and specifically at the sixth verse, says it this way. It says, "And let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches." Let me stop right there. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. I got a question on the floor. What's more valuable, a word from God or the money in your pocket? What's more valuable, a word from God or the money in your bank account? What's more valuable, the word of God or the investments that you have? Listen to me. A word from God can mean the difference between life and death. Can mean the difference between blessed and cursed. Yeah. Verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life."
Amen.
Okay? Yeah, shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. What's more valuable, eternal life or money?
Amen.
Well, I tell you what, I don't know about no eternal life, but I ain't giving up my money doing time. I don't know if I'm going to make it to eternity. Where's your faith at?
Wow.
Where's your belief in God? Where's your belief in his word?
Amen.
He told you how to get to eternity, and he showed you how to be blessed in time.
Amen.
Said those who abide in Christ, Christ shall abide in them.
Amen.
Yeah. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
God reveals to us that through his word that he shall give to us in abundance. So if a person knows God and knows God's word, they're not sitting there trying to hoard and lock down something that don't belong to them in the first place. Folk, you got some folk more afraid of running out of money than they are running off from God. I don't know about you, but you keep the money.
Amen.
Give me God. If I got to pick and choose between the two, but see, I don't have to do that. Because the Bible says, according to Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll add all these things to you." So when you get to God, God gives you everything else. Amen, somebody? Yeah. But you just have to believe his word. In 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, I want us to go there just briefly. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. I told y'all we were going to teach here today. Amen, somebody. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. And I'm moving quickly for the sake of time. Verse 9 says this, "Am I not free? Am I not an apostle?" 1 Corinthians 9:1. "Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If to others I am not an apostle, at least I am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defense to those who examine me is this: do we not have a right to eat and drink?" Let me stop right there.
Amen.
Paul is dealing with some folk who don't want to give any money.
Amen.
He's telling them that God has used him to preach the word to them, the word of liberty that's brought them to a salvation in Christ, and that's giving them the God's abundance in life. But they're struggling on whether or not he's got the authority to receive from the work that he's done. See, that's some insanity with that. Last time I checked, when folk go to work, they expect to get paid. Why is it when the preacher goes to work, he shouldn't get paid? Or she shouldn't get paid. Well, what's up with that mindset? To where somehow there's something innately wrong if the man or woman of God, if the servant of God is able to be provided for through those whom God is using them to provide for. For their safety, their security,
Amen.
Their blessings, for their lives, their marriage, their family, their generation.
Amen.
But see, the folk who are religious, yeah, do all of that, that's fine, but you ain't getting nothing from me.
Wow.
Better take this dime and be happy.
Wow.
But you ain't getting the $10,000 that I had, but I'll give you 10% of $1, but you won't get 10% of the $10,000 that I got. God is saying that's a Pharisaic kind of mindset. That's a religious kind of mindset. And I don't care what church a person is a part of, you need to come up out of that because you're cursing your blessings.
Wow. Amen.
Oh, let me move on real quick.
Wow.
Verse 5 says, "Do we not have a right to take along a believing wife, even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas?" They didn't even want the man to take a wife. You ain't got no right to no wife. You got the Lord's work to do. So no money, no honey, no nothing for you.
Wow.
For being shame on you for being God's instrument to bless us. Because
wow.
We sure gonna curse you.
Wow.
Ain't that a sad thing? But see, that's a religious mindset. The one who is a servant of God, for them, they get nothing. But give them everything. See, that's a religious mindset. Yeah, give me everything. Give me everything you got. I deserve it. It belonged to me. But I'm not going to give you anything. God forbid. Verse 6 says, "Or do only Barnabas and I not have a right to refrain from working? Who at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense?" he said, "We march in the Lord's army. We got to buy our own uniform, get our own boots, find our own transportation to the battlefield." Wow. God forbid. "Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of the fruit of it? Or who tends a flock and does not use the milk of the flock?" Yeah.
Wow.
He says, "I am not speaking these things according to human judgment, am I? Or does not the law also say these things? For it is written in the law of Moses, 'You shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing.' God is not concerned about oxen, is he?" Huh? "Or is he speaking altogether for our sake? Yes, for our sake it is written. Because the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher to thresh in hope of sharing the crops. If we sold spiritual things in you, is it too much if we should reap material things from you?" If we sold spiritual things, do you realize that every blessing, somebody gonna be praying.
Amen.
Do you realize that every blessing that God will ever give you, you already have?
Amen.
You say, "Well, Apostle, I don't remember seeing it." There's a whole lot of things I'd ask God for, but I don't remember seeing it yet.
Oh,
well, you mean I already have it.
Wow.
Ephesians 1 and 3 says it this way. It says that God has given us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
In other words, everything that God is ever going to give you, he's already given you. It's in Christ.
Amen.
The only way that people cannot receive the blessings that God has for them is that they're not in Christ. They're not submitting to his lordship. They're not abiding in him so that Christ can abide in them. And as a result of that, the blessings that they think they're waiting for is really waiting on them.
Wow. Amen. Amen.
Can you imagine Israel wandering in the wilderness for 40 years saying that they're waiting on the promised land when they came to the promised land and rejected the very promise that would usher them in? No, God is waiting on us. We're not waiting on God. Okay? And every blessing that God will ever have for you is in spiritual, in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's in the spirit realm. So when we're up here teaching and preaching the word, we're helping you to access the wealth, the health, the blessings that God has for you. That's limitless. Why would there be a problem with sharing what's limited?
Amen.
But see, folk who are religious, that's a problem for them. Yeah, I won't, but I don't want you to have. Woo! What a nasty disposition. Turn with me to Malachi, just before the book of Matthew. Of the New Testament, the last book of the Old Testament. In Malachi, the third chapter, the eighth verse says it this way, and I'm hurrying to a close here. I got a little bit more ground to cover, but I'm moving quick. Malachi 3:8 says this. It says, will a man rob God? He says, yet you are robbing me. God is telling these folk that he's brought out of bondage, that he's brought into the promised land, that he's blessed, that he's kept, that he's taken out of one imprisonment, one bondage after another. He says, would you please stop robbing me? In other words, take off your mask and get rid of your gun.
Amen.
And get it out my back. But what do you mean? Who can hold God up? God is saying when folk don't tithe, when they don't give of their first fruit, when they don't give of a tenth of what God has given them, what they're really saying is God didn't give me anything. I got this on my own. Yeah. And they taking what rightfully belongs to God. God calls that robbery. Okay? He says, you are cursed. Well, let me finish verse 8. It says, will a man rob God? He says, yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed thee in tithes and in offerings is the answer. Tithe and offering. I've seen some folk get blessed of God immensely. And man, they struggle to get a tenth. And some of them have shortchanged the tenth and have no offering to accompany it. And God didn't bless them immensely. Listen. The person who gives sparingly is going to reap sparingly.
Amen.
The person who gives bountifully is going to receive bountifully.
Amen.
Can you get this through your head?
Amen.
You don't have more in your hand than God has in his.
Amen.
Can you please untighten your fist?
Amen.
Verse 9 says, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. He says, bring the whole tithe. You don't tithe off a portion of what you got. Tithe off of all that you got, and then give an offering on top of that, is what God is saying. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. Let me stop right there.
Amen.
When people come to the house of God, whether it be Lincoln Bible Church or some other church, there needs to be meat in God's house.
Amen.
There needs to be spiritual meat, And there needs to be physical meat.
Amen.
And there needs to be spiritual meat and meat in the natural.
Amen.
When people are hurting, or people need help or guidance or direction, and they need a word from the Lord, they need a word of wisdom. If the folk have not tithed an offering, and the man of God or the woman of God or the servant of God can't stay in the house of God because they'll starve them to death.
Amen.
They had to go out on a 9-to-5 because the folk wouldn't give. So when somebody showed up at the church,
Amen.
Nobody's home. And not only that, their time families are struggling. They need to make ends meet. They need help with things. And if we don't have something to give,
Amen.
It may just be a meal. It may be whatever. Amen. It may be a few dollars to go buy some food. It may be to give them some food.
Amen.
But if folk are...
Amen.
this is mine.
Yeah.
Oh, is that a fact? But who gave it to you? Who does it really belong to? God said all the silver and gold is mine. You calling God a lie. But they feel so tight. And then there's some of them, they get a tenth out. They can get a check. God can give them $10,010. Okay, one-tenth of $10,010 is $1,001. They'll write a check for $1,000. They ain't going to get up that last dollar. They just can't see getting beyond that $1,000. Man, you got $9,009 that you didn't have.
Amen.
But you can't see fit to...
yeah.
And truth be told, should not only give the $1,001... But you ought to give some extra dollars along with it. Maybe just give the other $9.
Amen.
And you still got $9,000. But some folk, that don't make sense. I need my money. Wrong perspective. It ain't yours. It's God's.
Amen.
It's God's.
Amen.
But see, religion takes a lot. It's only going to give a little. Right? He says this here, he says, test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, in this 10th verse of this 3rd chapter of Malachi. Test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. I said righteousness gives a lot, but it only takes a little. God said, go on and honor me with the 10th. Of what you have in the offering, and I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out.
Amen.
Until you overflow.
Amen.
Righteousness gives a lot.
Amen.
But some folk never tap into God's righteousness, huh, that exists in Christ Jesus through their obedience to God, because they're busy being religious and acting on the word of Satan rather than on the word of God. See, the word of Satan says, mine. ain't getting my money. Ain't no preacher Cadillacing on my money. God forbid. God forbid. If the Lord didn't bless and overflow at the preacher's house and at your house, what you got a problem with? Why can you ride the Cadillac and he can't?
Amen.
Yeah, God forbid.
Amen.
Verse 11 says this here in Malachi. It says, then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it may not destroy the fruits of your ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts.
Yeah.
Huh? And all the nations will call you blessed,
yes.
For you shall be a delightful land,
yes.
Says the Lord of hosts.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let me tell you something.
Amen.
If you really knew God, and if you really understood Satan, verse 11 would be enough reason to make you give everything you got to the Lord.
Amen.
All by itself.
Amen.
Well, what do you mean by that, Apostle? Listen. If a person has a whole lot, but they don't get to keep any of what they got, what good does it do? God says that he'll rebuke the devourer, that which destroys the prosperity in a person's life. Huh? God says he'll rebuke that. That alone is reason to be faithful to God. And the fact that he said he'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing that you cannot receive. See, some folk don't know what a blessing is. Y'all gonna make me preach. Can I put a pin where I'm going? Some folk don't know what a blessing is. See, you getting up this morning, that was a blessing. Because you could have been left lying in your bed. You being able to get out of there and not having to crawl or fall out, that's a blessing. See, there's folk in the hospital now who's bedridden and can't get out. There's folk in convalescent homes who somebody else has got to give them a bath because they can't do it for themselves. There's other folk in an early grave. You got to know what a blessing is. It's being able to get up in the morning and see yourself in the mirror. That's a blessing. Because you got eyes to see, a life with which you can see to and through. A closet you can go through and get some clothes. To wake up and you didn't have to look up at the sky because you got a roof over your head. To go outside, whether it's your car or somebody else, and there were some wheels to get you where you wanted to go. To be in your right mind and not in some insane asylum. To have the movement of your limbs. You better know what a blessing is. See, some folk think blessing is just money. See, let me tell you something. There have been a whole lot of millionaires and a few billionaires that would have gave everything they have just to be made well. Something that we have. Let somebody get sick in the hospital and let their body start racking with pain and let the doctors not know what to do. And they have to call on the name of the Lord. They'll give up everything they got. to get to what God has. You better know what a blessing is. Yes. And it's not just money. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Help us, Lord. Help us.
Haggai chapter 1, and we're going to be right done. Now. Flip over a few pages. Haggai chapter 1, verse 1. Flip a few pages over from Malachi. You'll get to Haggai. Verse 1, it reads as follows as we hurry to a close. It says, in the second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, listen to me. Somebody, ooh, Lord, I don't have time to preach. Woo! My goodness, I'd love to pray right here. Preaching ain't good enough. See, the word of the Lord came to these folk. But notice who it came to. See, but before we even get there, if people really knew who God was, the church house, every church house on this planet would be full. That preaches the word of God. Amen. If they really knew who God was. See, because God speaks. And in the house of God is a word of God. Amen. And by the word of God, people live. Because if God speaks, God can speak and a man can live. And God can speak again and a man can die. A word from the Lord came. So we better learn to value a word from the Lord. Amen. Okay? Amen. And God said it came to the prophet. It came to the prophet Haggai. It came to Zerubbabel, who was the governor. And it came to the priest. Wow. Amen. See, these folk honored God within their society. So God would not only talk to the preacher, the prophet, But he spoke to leadership. And that's what I pray that will happen in America. Amen. That God can speak to our leadership. Those judges sitting on the Supreme Court.
Yes.
Those senators in the Senate.
Yes.
Those representatives in the House of Representatives.
Yes.
In the U.S. Capitol.
Right.
And in our state capitals.
Right.
See, God needs, and our mayors of our city. God needs to be able to speak. Because all authority comes from God, and apart from God, there is no authority, according to Romans 13:1. So these people need to understand they have God's authority. And they have a responsibility to yield to God's word for the benefit and blessing of God's people.
Amen.
But I got good news for you. Even if the governor ain't on board, or the mayor ain't on board, or the president ain't on board, you better get to a house where a preacher's on board. Because God's word is going forth.
Amen.
Yeah, God's word is going forth.
Amen.
But God gave it to all three.
Yes.
The second verse says, thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Huh? He says, you have sown much, but you harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. He says, you put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains. Somebody better walk with me. Huh? Go up to the mountains. Bring wood and rebuild the temple that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because of my house which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew. And the earth has withheld its produce. And I called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, on what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, and on the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God sent him. And the people showed reverence for the Lord. When it's all said and done, religion does not reverence God, does not have a fear of God. But I'm going to tell you something. I've seen a lot of folk working one job, two jobs, three jobs, doing a project here, there, all kind of stuff, trying to figure out how to make ends meet when all they had to do was bring the tithe into the storehouse so they'll meet in God's house and prove him herewith. Be righteous and not religious. Because there is a difference between the righteousness of God and the religion of men.